So we're excited about today's episode because our first guest is me. Well, I guess I'm not really a guest, but we are going to use these podcast episodes for you guys to get to know us. So Sarah is going to interview me, and I have no idea what questions you're going to ask, but I'm ready. Are you ready?
I am ready. So just to introduce you really quick, Daniel is a father of three.
Yep.
He's been married for 16 years.
Yes.
And I know that because I referenced your calendar on the wall just now.
Yeah, it's right.
Almost
I was
16
like, that's
years.
Amazing. Yeah.
On the 15th of November.
Yep.
And he's a Scorpio, but he
I don't
doesn't
know what
care
that
about that.
Yeah, so I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Would you like to share with me what a Scorpio?
I don't know either. You're born in November.
Okay. Got it.
And yeah, so we're going to find out more about him. I feel like I know enough about you where I have some questions that...
Oh, you have serious questions or have some real reservations?
Go either way.
Okay.
I did keep in mind that your parents listen to this.
They will. My dad won't. My mom will.
Okay. Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
So...
you have telemarketers calling
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Phone's off.
We're doing a podcast.
Hello, we're busy, guys.
Okay. So, yeah, I have a lot of questions. Okay. How long do you want this to be? We could...
It's up to you. You're in charge. I'm just here. I'm the guest.
I think, to start off with, I found this really interesting.
Okay.
Because we were just talking about the Enneagram and...
Yeah.
Myers-Briggs thing.
Uh-huh. Love it.
So my question is, this is
back
off.
Up.
Yeah. How would you describe yourself to others?
Whoa.
Because I know how I would describe you, but I don't want to put those thoughts in your head.
Sure.
And I probably know how Melinda would describe you, your wife, but... Like, how would you describe yourself?
Are you going to then tell me how you would describe me after I answer this?
I have to edit it in my head. No.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I... Yeah.
How I would describe myself, I
Personality-wise.
Personality-wise. I'm very even keel, kind of laid back. Never too high, never too low. I don't get, like, super stressed out.
Have you ever been high? Or too high?
I've never been high.
So you've never had a chance to be too high.
That's true. Yeah. Now that you mention it. Yeah. Or too low.
Or too low.
I've never been high.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that I'm pretty even keel, laid back, a loyal friend. If I'm your friend, I've got your back.
Okay.
I like to have fun. I think as people get to know me, they find that I would like to think a little funnier than I probably come across just if you met me on the street, because I'm a little bit more reserved.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of inner dialogue in my head. So there's a lot going on up here. Yeah. It may not show it on my face, but there's a lot going on in the brain. Some of it appropriate, some not so much.
I will testify to that.
Okay. And beyond that, I would like to think that I'm a good dad. I love my family, love my, my wife. So I'm a very, I think that plays into the loyalty too. They're my people. And so I want to love them, take care of them, you know.
Yeah.
That's my short answer. Are you looking for more?
So those are all good things.
Okay. What about the bad things?
That's curious because loyalty could go either way where it's you're so loyal to the point of you should have cut that. Or, if I'm not your friend anymore, there's a real reason for that, right?
Right.
Probably. Interesting.
You want me to talk about my bad qualities?
Well, no. No,
oh,
let's,
okay.
We can save
keep
that.
It positive?
That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah,
that would take
that'd be
way
episode
too
four.
Long. That's no, what do you think, Melinda? I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I would, what I was going to add, or I'm hoping... Well, I know, because we've already pre-filmed some podcasts, that you are funnier than people might think, like a person off the street.
Yeah. Street people don't find me money. I mean, not a ton. I mean, I meet strangers a lot more recently. I'm a professional Lyft driver.
Oh, right. Yeah, you know, so you are so literally picking them up off the street.
I'm literally picking up strangers off the street. And a few of them find me funny.
Do they?
Not many. Because I don't say much.
Try out your material on that?
Yeah, I mean, only a couple people. I have some ideas, though, to kind of broaden. I'm thinking about doing voices, maybe. Like,
what does that mean?
Breaking out like a British accent at some point. Like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I'm not going to try to do that.
No,
I was just going to try it, and then it started to come out. I'm like, nope, that's not going to work.
So, nope.
Or it could just be offensive.
What?
I could do other voices, but they might be offensive.
I thought you meant something else.
Nope.
You should do a different character, though, each time.
I could be. See, it shows my name on, like, when I pick them up. Oh. But I could. Yeah. I could come up with some alter egos of some sort.
You know, though, I feel like the one time you're going to be, like, really, like, go in for it and be like, I'm from Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And then they're going to be like, I'm from Liverpool, too.
Yes.
Then, yeah.
And then I'm done.
And we're driving to Everett.
I'd you like to go to the market, would you?
Market.
That's my best British. Was that British? I don't even know, actually.
To the market.
To the market.
I don't.
The both of them. You know, no?
Boat of them.
I can't, yeah, I'm done. Maybe it's a bad idea.
We're sorry. I'm sorry.
Next question.
Okay. No, I would agree with that. You're funny and there is
a lot. I like to think I'm kind of funny.
No, I told you that you should do stand-up. And what did you say?
What did I say? I don't remember.
You said
I do remember you saying that. I don't remember what I said.
You said that you would like to do that. And that
I did say that.
Dream
yeah.
or some. Maybe not a dream. But
maybe
like,
not a dream.
You
but
would.
I would, yeah, I'd
if
give it
someone
a go.
Pushed you to
it
do that.
It seems really difficult.
I
like
mean,
when
the
you
first
really get into like studying like what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've spent a lot of my life in front of people and on a platform and speaking and doing music and that sort of thing. So I wouldn't be afraid from that standpoint, because a lot of people, it's like getting over the, you know, fear of public
speaking.
And I don't have a lot of that, but just having. I would, the first time that you tell a joke or and it's just silence, I would just burst into tears and walk off the stage. Like, yeah, I'm not going to do that
well,
again.
Well, no, that's why you would bring us.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Then we would do aggressive laughter.
Yeah,
I'm good at
I know your fake laughs, though.
Yeah.
And that may just make me feel worse.
No, just do a slow
clap. Golf clap. I think you guys would just start booing, actually. Okay, boo, get off the stage.
Oh, yeah, just that would, you would feel relief, though, if we
yeah,
did that. And then
it would
you
be
could
like
get
this.
Off the stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my question was, what would a world populated by clones of Daniel be like? Now that we know all your amazing qualities.
Wow. That could be a really boring existence. I think that would be my fear because, oh, gosh.
Your fear is
yeah,
a world
of just
of
a
you?
Massive amounts of that sounds terrifying.
Why?
I don't know. There would be no, I don't think there would be enough excitement in the world.
Oh.
You know.
But there'd be excitement
because of
inner
the
excitement.
Even keel. There would be a lot of people just walking around looking like they're having a good time, but they're not really
at their
sure
own
what's
jokes
yeah,
in their head.
Yeah. A lot of that's neat. I don't know.
Neat.
I think that's the beauty of the world, though, that there shouldn't be a million of me. There should just be the one.
The one.
Just the one me.
Okay.
Interesting question, though.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Hold on. Sorry, I'm stuck on this. This was my random thought.
Okay.
So I just used your restroom at your house.
Yep.
You have a hand towel.
Okay.
And then a bath towel, like normal people do.
Uh-huh.
The hand towel and the regular size towel.
Okay.
And my thought is, I reached for the hand towel to dry my hands on.
Uh-huh.
And then I think, well, my hands are really wet. I might need more towel. So I reached for the bath towel.
Okay.
And then I think, and it's not just at your house, I've thought this before.
Okay.
Where has the stubble?
Where's that towel been? That was what I was thinking. Like,
what body part?
Well, I haven't showered today, so it wasn't me. It was mine? Yesterday's towel.
Because I know for a fact that Mike gets in there with his towels.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Wow. But I'm more of a patter.
I'm more of a patter. Yeah. I don't get in there.
That's what the hair dryer is for. Or just walking around. I don't know.
I'm more of an air dry.
Yes.
Then I don't dig in with the towel.
Anyway, I just felt like so, I had to get that out.
So I think you're safe then. Okay. That was my towel apparently.
But I did
know
I did use the spinning across the table. I did use the bath towel, so
okay.
Where that has been, my hands have been now.
I don't know where the
But it's your body. Been. Your body, your choice. Sure. I don't know if that's...
Mm-hmm. Your body, your choice. No
anyway,
political statements here.
Speaking of body.
Okay.
Is that a good transition?
That was a great transition. I'm really impressed.
I am very curious for no particular reason. About why did you look back at Melinda?
I'm like, are you talking about my body?
I am curious because, you know, let's be honest, everyone loves your hair.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Well, I'll just say that for the podcast so they can have an image in their head.
Yeah, we'll post a nice image of my hair.
Yeah. Have there been any crazy hair experiences?
Yeah.
You had maybe as a teenager?
I have a lot of crazy hair experiences. My crazy hair experience probably started around age 15, I would say.
Oh.
Do you remember the bowl cuts? Do you remember?
Oh,
so I went full on bowl cut, I think in 9th or 10th grade.
Now, Daniel, wait, just so our audience of two knows. Daniel's a lot older than me. You're what?
What? Wait, no. Let's back up.
The bowl cut was popular when I was in first grade. So.
Okay. So this would have
you're
been
only like 3 years old.
1994.
Yeah, when I was like 5.
Okay.
No.
Right.
No. Uh-huh. No. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, the bowl cut.
It may have. It may not have. It may. I don't. Was it ever like popular? Yeah, I don't know. That I would don't. Say that it was popular in 1994.
Like,
that's just the haircut
like
that I had.
Ice skater in the late 80s. A female ice skater.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah.
No, did you use a bowl?
I don't.
Was that?
No. I mean, I went to the barber.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
I don't know.
So it was, I mean, they
it
were
was like professional.
To do it. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like, hey,
and
let's do this in the kitchen, you know, grab the closest bowl and throw it on your head.
You thought you looked good at the time.
Yeah, I thought I looked pretty good. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so that would be one. And that wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you know, it was 1994. I think where it got really, so my now wife, and I, we started dating when I was in high school. So this was post bowl cut. So this was like 1995. So the hair had grown back out.
So she was, yeah.
We had been friends before that, but.
Wait, how had, like longer?
No, we weren't allowed to have long hair. So that's another conversation
that's
too.
Another podcast.
Yeah. But so this would have been after high school. So I've graduated from high school. So then I could actually grow my hair out a little bit, like over the ears, had a little length to it. Not a lot.
Rebel, hey.
And so I don't know what came over my then girlfriend, now wife, but she thought it would be a great idea to maybe turn my hair blonde. And so there was a Sun In. Is Sun In still a product, by the way? Maybe they could be a sponsor. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll look into that.
Sun In. On my brown hair, I actually did make it blonde, but more of a burnt umber kind of orange.
Wait, umber?
Yeah, isn't that one?
Umber?
Of the,
I don't know.
I don't either.
Okay. Okay.
I thought it was burnt umber. Okay. Anyway, it was more orange, really.
Okay.
That was unfortunate. because and then I think there was an attempt to dye it back to a more normal color. It didn't really work either. So I never did that again. I didn't do like the, I didn't go through the frosted tips phase. I didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
Never went through that. And so, and then, yeah, I mean, my hair has gone through moments of height. I mean, it can get really high.
Yeah.
I've done that before.
So you have had moments of high.
Yeah. Yeah. My hair has been high before.
Yeah.
But, and at this point it's just thinning. And so I pretty much just wear hats every day. But
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I want pictures.
There are pictures. Yeah.
I feel like if you were at a different school maybe, or a different, raised a different way,
yeah,
you could have pulled off a goth look, like a nice stringy hair, like long in your face.
Have you guys been having conversations or
what?
Well, there was another thing. So you're gonna learn something new that you probably didn't know about me. I used to really be kind of into professional wrestling. So like,
by professional you mean not professional.
Professional meaning not necessarily real.
Okay.
Although we can have that argument another time. It's the theater of anyway. Just it sounds kind of pathetic when you say it out loud. But I was super into a certain wrestler's name is Sting.
Okay.
So not the musician Sting, but another Sting. And he would paint his face completely white and had these kind of like dark streaks down his eyes. So I was Sting for Halloween one year. So I had like a whole goth kind of trench coat look.
Oh!
Black. Yeah. Yeah.
And you were dressing up.
I mean, just the, well, no, it wasn't.
Did you already have a trench coat? Wait, did you already own a trench coat?
I don't remember.
Don't answer. I don't know.
I don't think. I probably bought it. I don't know. With my minimum wage paycheck.
Wait, did you have a job in high school?
Yeah, I had a lot of jobs in high school.
Oh, okay.
My first job.
So nothing has changed. You're a man of many.
Nothing has changed. I've been hired and fired a couple times.
No, I mean multiple at the same time. But if you want to say that, that's.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I worked at McDonald's, my first job.
Okay.
Mickey D's in the crew. Yeah, there was a lot of jokes about my jobs for a long time because I had a lot of, I would just try different things and
All right.
And just get whatever you can get.
And that applies not to marriage.
Nope. Just the jobs.
Was there, this is also another good question. I don't know where it came from.
Okay.
But speaking of teenagehood,
mm-hmm,
was there anything you did as a teenager that you're terrified your kids will do?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there's a lot of them. Some I probably wouldn't share on here. Maybe
use your imagination.
Use your imagination.
Hi, Mom.
So I don't mind telling one story, though.
Okay.
Is this a safe room? No one's listening, right? Just two people are listening.
Yeah.
It's fine. Oh God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I don't know when this was, but some friends of mine, we were kind of just hanging out. It was like some sort of celebration for, I don't remember what it was. What's really funny is there was zero alcohol involved, no drugs of any sort. But someone had the great idea to let's go streaking in a Walmart parking lot.
Classy.
Classy. Yes. So I don't know. It's like 2 a.m. No, wait.
Oh.
Time out. It wasn't a Walmart parking lot. Someone else did the Walmart parking lot. Just one person did the Walmart parking lot. I won't say who it was, but if you're listening, you know who you are. But yeah, there were a group of 5 of us, and we were at interesting in some neighborhood, and went streaking.
Oh, residential neighborhood.
Residential neighborhood, yep. Yep. Did a little streaking. I would not recommend that to my children or anyone else for that matter. But
okay, that's, I just have an image and a
sound. I'm not trying to give any images. Sounds too. Wow, you are imaginative. We may have to cut this one out.
all guys.
Yes, yes. The pause didn't worry you. yeah, it was.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yep. That's, I feel like a good streak gets a lot of the, a lot out.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So growing up, so your family didn't know about streaking incident?
No.
Okay.
My then girlfriend knew, but.
Okay. And how
she
did
was
she
not
react?
Happy about it.
Oh.
I don't know why. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
we haven't gone, we haven't done the counseling through that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't really talked about it since. So there may be a post. It's just gross. She said, well, okay.
Well, if you're not good at wiping.
Wait, what? When did we talk about wiping? You said drying off. You didn't say anything about wiping. Wow, this is like rated R.
So growing up, would you say, and I know, okay, like in marriage counseling, did you guys do marriage counseling?
No, we didn't actually.
It shows.
Yeah, it's fun. Like Melinda's dad was our pastor. Mm-hmm. And so, and he married us.
Right.
And so we thought, well, that might be kind of weird.
Yeah.
So we didn't do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and somehow we still made it. I don't know.
Yeah. That's interesting. There's a whole lot there, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But was your family, because your parents are really sweet. Growing up, though, was it like a very open family? Like, did you guys go do a lot of stuff, or was it more like you hang out at home and chill?
Yeah, we did. It was mostly like be at home and chill. At least that's my memory. We did spend a lot of time with family. So some of my best memories as a kid were every Friday. So my grandparents lived in town, in the same town that we did too. So we were like 5 or 10 minutes from my grandparents on my mom's side, about 15, 20 minutes from my grandparents on my dad's side. And so every week we would see them at some point. So usually Friday nights were reserved to go see my grandparents on my dad's side.
That's really sweet.
And yeah, we would do like, we would go out to eat, do dinner. And then, yeah, usually some sort of the fish camp in Southern. Do you know, have you heard of the fish camp? Oh, yeah. It's fancy.
It's like a restaurant.
It's a fish camp would be, it's like a type of restaurant. So it's not just like one restaurant. A fish camp would be any type of restaurant that fits into, like, their primary food would be fried seafood.
Oh,
that would be a fish camp. Why? So, I have no idea. But
why is it called camp?
That's a wonderful question that I have no answer to. And I would love to hear the answer to that
so
myself.
So was there a cow camp? Or beef camp? What? Oh.
Just the fish. Oh, no cow camps or...
There wasn't.
No other sorts of camps.
Oh, just fish.
Fish.
Okay.
But we would, and that wasn't every week, but we would typically go out to eat, just the four of us, me and my mom and dad and my brother.
Okay.
And then we would go to my grandparents' house, and then all the other, like, my dad's siblings and cousins, they would all come and we would play games and...
At the, like, fish camp or at...
Not at the fish camp. Okay. At my grandparents' house.
Oh.
The fish camp was really close to my grandparents' house.
We would play games?
We play board games and card games and that sort of thing.
That's really,
and so it was like, yeah, every sweet. Friday night have cake and...
Did you do this as a teenager?
Yep.
Straight through 18?
Not as much. When I was a teenager, I was playing sports and... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, met a lady.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And but still, it was really consistent. I mean, just about... every week or so, if not every week, every other week, I would
really
see them.
Cool.
And kind of the same thing with the other side too. And so we were, so most of my growing up experience, when I think about growing up, it was with my family, with my grandparents' family, but my immediate family, grandparents. And then I went to a Christian school. And so everything in church that was combined and everything kind of revolved around that.
Okay.
So that's where we spent 99% of our time, was either at the church/school, because my mom worked there too, or with my family, grandparents and stuff.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know. I want to hear more about your growing up.
Yeah.
But I also want to hear about you
mm-hmm.
and like your thought process, because something interesting that you said at the beginning is that you have a lot of thoughts in your head that don't get out.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious about that. Mm-hmm. Let's.
Yeah. Well, I would say like, I don't know where that's, if that's just how I've always been, or I don't know how that's developed within me. Like growing up, like my growing experience was great. I don't have anything bad to say. I feel like it was kind of nondescript.
Ideal. Very ideal.
Yeah, it was great. I don't think it was anything. And maybe that's where my like not too high, not too low. I think my parents are a lot like that too. They don't really get, you know, we've kind of joked about like Christmas. Actually, let me back up. Not Christmas. I think about when we were going to, we found out we were going to have, was this Maddie or Max? I guess our first. That's right. We, so we already had our daughter, Maddie. We found out we're going to have a boy, and, or maybe we didn't know at that point. We just knew we were going to have another baby. And so we decided that we made this video that was going to, Maddie was kind of like going to, at the end of the video, reveal that, hey, we're having a baby, but it was to celebrate her second birthday or something like that. So we had this video compiled of Maddie's highlights for the past 2 years. And the very end of the video, it says, I'm going to be a big sister, this big reveal. And so we thought it'd be really cool to like do a video of everyone
of the
watching the video,
yeah.
right? So we take the video, we show it to Melinda's family. And I mean, there is, it's just this thunderous applause. Like you would have thought, you would have thought like someone just won the lottery or like the prodigal had come home. Like, and it was just this massive party. Let's feast. Let's celebrate.
Feast.
They're screaming. It was just, it was hysterical. So then we go to my parents' house, and there was actually, there were other people there too. I think we had some cousins over, and pop the video in, play it. And Maddie goes, I'm going to be a big sister. And then my mom just turns around and goes, That was it. It's like dead silence. You know, there's like, and they were really happy about it. And everyone's excited, but it's just how it's like expressed is very different. And so that was my growing up experience. Like not too high, not too low. It's just kind of like you just move.
Yeah. Oh. Like, congratulations on procreating.
You did it.
Yeah,
it works.
It works.
Great. And so I think, I don't know if that's kind of how much that shaped just my life. But then marrying into a family that's very, very different and figuring out how you fit into that. How do you like, even as we were kind of talking about Enneagram stuff, part of Enneagram 9, they want to know their presence matters in the world. And I, not that I didn't feel like I mattered, but especially when I started dating Melinda, kind of going into this realm of her dad's this pastor who is on television and everywhere you go, people are watching you. It kind of made me think like, how do I fit into this? You know, I can't measure up to these people. And that kind of stuck with me for a while. And it took a long time to kind of find my place. And I think that really shaped a lot of who I am today. And not, I don't think in a bad way, it's I've grown a lot from that. I don't know, I just went really deep and I don't know where I was going.
No,
with
that's
that.
Great. Kind of to tag along with that, what do you think you're much better at than you actually are?
Ooh. So what do I think I'm much better at than I really am?
Yeah.
So I think I'm really good, but I'm not that great.
Like comedy, for example. You mentioned you're funny. No, I'm kidding.
That's a
he
good
is
one.
Funny. He is.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
I mean, out of all your talents, so many to choose from.
I probably think and say I'm a better driver than I am, but...
And you have a career in that now.
Yeah. I wouldn't call it a career. Let's be honest.
A job.
But that's a good question. I think I would probably like flip it and say one of my downfalls is I don't think I'm that good at a lot of things. Yeah. I don't think like I'm a, you know, super talented or like I would probably say like music. Like I think I'm good, but maybe I'm not as, you know, I think it's one of those, like, that's what I probably feel like I do best at. Mm-hmm. But even I have my own doubts about that. And so those are things that, like, insecurities, it's been a big part of my life too.
Yeah.
A lot of insecurity. It's like trying to, again, I think it's, how do I fit in? Where does my presence matter? How do I fit into this world? Like, what do I bring to the table? And so a lot of my thoughts have been, okay, I want to be better at X, Y, or Z. I don't think I'm that great at it, you know? And so I don't know how to answer that question because I don't think I'm really great at anything. I think that I'm good at a lot of things.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
I can pick up things really quickly, but I don't think I, like, excel at one thing. But
and honestly, though, singing is probably the best thing. Do. And I was going to mention that the Price family, they excel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when they excel, they go high. Sure. So, and they go all in. So yeah. It is hard when there's a family like that. Mm-hmm. And then.
And that was really intimidating for me because, again, just it was very different families.
Yeah.
You know, my mom and dad were very blue collar, worked hard to provide, but not in any kind of public
capacity.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's not a lot of, I don't know what the word would be. There's not a lot of appreciation even for, like, what blue collar people do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the people who are in front of people, they get recognition, they get praise and adulation and that sort of thing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think then stepping into a family, where, like, wow, everybody is really talented. And even, like, when you talk about, like, okay, I think I'm best at this. Mm-hmm. So if we were to say that I'm best at music,
right?
Let's just say that.
Let's assume that. Yeah.
That we don't have to agree on that.
Yeah. You know. Yeah.
But then everyone in that family is super musically talented.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I have a master's degree in worship.
Right.
Oh, but wait, there's a sibling who has his doctorate in choral conducting. Okay. Right. You know, and so I've had to get, and I think that's been a part of my life too, just trying to compare myself. And, like, I've had to not do that because it's not gone well for me.
Yeah.
Just accept, like, who I am, who God's created me to be, and, like, be okay with that. And sometimes that's a daily thing for me.
Well, and it's funny how we tell our kids kindness matters, be kind. And that's really at the end of the day, like, what matters. And then, but it's hard when, you know.
Well, so much of our identity in our culture is wrapped around what we do. Mm-hmm. I heard someone say one time, like, teach your kids, like, not what do they want to be when they grow up, but who do they want to be? Mm. Like, what kind of person do they want to be? You know, when we say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? The answer is typically, I want to be a policeman or a fireman or a missionary or a preacher or a doctor, veterinarian, whatever the thing is, as opposed to, I want to be kind.
Yeah.
I want to be a good friend. I want to be loyal.
That's good.
And so I think, like,
that's really good.
I don't always think that way, but I've at least tried, as I've gotten a tiny bit older and more mature, to think that way. And, hey, you know, maybe I'm not the best at this, but I shouldn't find my identity in that. Mm-hmm. But, hey, be a good husband, be a good father, love well.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it feels like, so what traits or character traits do you want to have then for yourself? Like, if you're, like, instead of what do you want to do, which, you know, who do you want to be?
Yeah, I do. I want to be a person that people know that I'm their friend no matter what.
Right.
You know, like,
check. Well, that's already.
But if you came, not everybody has that experience, you know, when it's because it's very conditional a lot of times, like relationships. They're either transactional, where it's like, hey, what do you do for me?
Kind
of, you know, versus, well, I can be in a relationship with you as long as you measure up to these standards. And unfortunately, some of that has just been my experience, like, working in churches for the past 18, 20 years. because that's sometimes that's kind of how it plays out. And I think that's not a good thing. But if I came to you and said, hey, guess what, Sarah? Like,
bopped someone on the head.
Bopped someone on the head.
Bopped someone.
But if, you know, like, what am I trying to say here, guys?
You really are into
hurting people, killing. What I'm trying to say is
kill your fears.
Yeah. That I saw this quote recently, like that I want to be the kind of person that you could come to me and there's nothing that's going to surprise me. And even if it's like the worst of the worst, like mm-hmm. I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be your friend. I'm going to walk with you through the difficult thing. And not everybody's like that. And I want to be that kind of person. And I think I've lived enough life and seen enough good and really hard things to say, I can be that way because I've been shown a lot of grace in my life. And I want to be the kind of person who I'm not going to judge you for where you are in this moment. That's, you know, that's just, I don't want to be that kind of person. So kind and loving and, I want to be more generous. That's something that I would like to see just growth in for me. I think so much of our life has been kind of scrap and just try to make it.
Well, financially generous, do you mean? Because,
There are other ways to be generous. But, I agree.
And honestly, the times, and I will say the Hills are very, I don't know if non-judgmental is the right way or accepting, but you are the kind of people where nothing really will surprise you. And mm-hmm. we've dropped some stuff on you guys.
Yeah.
And I know that to be true. So I already know that's, mm-hmm. you're already there, but that can be a hard thing for the average person off the street to see because a lot of people don't want to go deep or like, I mean, you just saying to someone, hey, you can tell me anything. I mean, most people I think want to think that anyone can tell them anything, but mm-hmm. you know, that's great. I think that I hope that your genuineness will come through people's
mm-hmm.
earphones, headphones, AirPods.
Do you have AirPods?
You know, if I had AirPods, I would not be working at a homeless shelter. I would not be eating Kroger brand potato chips.
Sure. Fair enough. Same here. Same story. And Maddie won't allow me to buy fake ones or like knockoffs. You're like, no.
I know. I've stopped myself from buying the.
Yeah. I've wanted to, but.
Yeah. I have too, but I. Yeah. Anyway. Maybe I could like hide my hair over my ear. Wear them and be proud and
own your fake AirPods. You know, knock off brand.
AirPods.
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 AirPods. Yeah. I don't know.
No.
I like PIDs.
You know. That is a good lesson for Matt. You need to get her some AirPods to bring her down notch or two. Yeah. Every kid needs to experience the.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so kind of going back. Now, this could go in any direction.
Okay, you can steer me in the right direction. I don't care.
It could be something simple.
Okay.
It could be a passive aggressive.
I am not at all passive aggressive.
What are your pet peeves?
Oh god. I have a couple.
Okay.
So this
one. Do you want to start from like? Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I have a lot.
Them out.
I have a lot of pet peeves. I mean, I can think of a couple.
Okay.
The first one I could think about, and I don't even consider this a pet peeve, guys. This is an epidemic. a medical condition that people do not talk enough about, first of all. Okay. It's a thing called misophonia. Are you familiar with misophonia?
No.
Okay. This is a real thing. Don't hate. Don't send in emails. Don't complain. This is a real medical condition that is backed by science, dadgummit. But yeah, like, so misophonia, as I understand it, is...
No, that's a real term.
It's a real term. Oh, okay. This is a real thing, Sarah.
I thought it was like an Asian thing.
Sorry. You said that, not me. not miso soup, misophonia. Okay. So basically, it's like you are, like, certain sounds affect you in a negative way. Sometimes to the point where it, like, physically either makes you ill or angry or...
Oh. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So what?
Eating an apple.
Really?
Is the worst experience.
I'm looking for an apple.
Like, not me eating an apple, but someone else eating an apple. If I'm in your presence and you're eating an apple.
I'm going to kill you.
I will leave the room or you need to leave the
room. So there are a few people that should eat an apple in your presence if,
no. If they want to really piss me off. Yeah. And there are people that, and there are also people who eat an apple a certain way. Have you met these? So
what?
There's like a way to eat an apple. Yeah. It's like, I mean, apples, they have their own natural sound,
yes.
The crunch, the juices that you, you know, you hear, but then there are people that just eat it and then they just continue that process with their mouth open. Like, and then it's like, it's worse than fingernails on a chalkboard.
Oh.
It just kills me inside.
Really?
And the bad thing is, like, no one knows that except for the people in our house, you know, for the most part. And now they do. But Melinda and the kids know. And my parents know, too. But
you should give people a heads up, honestly.
I just did. and so, like, their moment, I hate that it bothers me because it's like, you know, one of the kids are eating and I will just about lose it. Like, and they all know because all I have to do is just give the look. Like, and I feel terrible about it, but it really, like, so, or yeah, if we're like kind of vegging on the couch, like watching tea, so like potato chips, which I love potato. I mean,
eating potato chips?
Yeah. Like
I can't eat them around you. I literally, no.
It didn't bother me. But
wait a second. I just came over to their house. I was in the living room alone with you and popping chips, potato chips into my mouth.
But here's the thing.
And you didn't say anything.
So here's the thing.
There is the passive aggressive part.
No. It's also like more intensified by stress. So if you're stressed out, if I'm stressed out, like noise is like, it's more intense. I'm not stressed out today. I'm very chill. But also like there was a lot happening when you got here too. And so like, we got like super quiet and then you just jump into that bag, then we might have some problems. But like, so we could be sitting on the couch, like watching TV, whatever. She's like, oh, I need some chips. I feel like the anxiety.
Wait, right, only potato chips or Doritos too? Because if it's Doritos,
just
I don't think
sort of
we can hang out.
It's like any sort of. So I just need to eat with you.
Okay, so.
So as long
as
like there's stuff going, I can, you know.
Wait, is that because the sound of you eating is louder than...
I guess. I don't know.
Interesting. Weird. Oh.
So, like, if she's like, hey,
wow.
I'm going to get some chips.
You are a lot more complicated.
I know. Here's a chip. So,
oh, wow. Yeah, so. Okay. So.
And then, again, it's not all the time, but it's pretty consistent.
Wow.
So that's... But I don't need... That's not a pet peeve. That's just a medical condition.
Okay. That's... Okay. Did you have another one you'd like to share?
Yeah.
Give us a heads up before you kill us.
We're going to a violent moment of rage. Yeah.
And like we know with your personality that you would be plotting.
I was trying to set you up.
It would be premeditated. You would have had plenty of...
Uh-huh. Well, I was trying to set you up earlier, like saying, hey... Like, we can be friends. Like, I'm not going to judge you.
Oh, interesting. That's okay. That's.
I didn't want you to judge me on the back end. Pet peeves. I think, like, arrogant people really kind of rub me the wrong way.
Which should be basic.
It should be basic.
Humankind 101, but yeah.
But that's kind of I think that's a pet peeve. What are some more pet peeves? You're going to have to help me on this one. I have a bunch, but.
Oh, I have so many.
Maybe I don't. No, that's just being poor.
Rude people. Okay, just to go back to the Enneagram thing, which I know you love.
Yes.
But okay, so, you know, I'm type 2, but type 9 too as well, probably. What I kind of learned, it kind of helped me, is to realize that not everyone is picking up on rudeness or sees things as rudeness.
Right.
But 2s and 9s are most sensitive to it and aware of it. And so that's probably why. So something that Daniel and I do that we're very aware of, and you can tell in our text because we go over the top. It actually gives me anxiety when you text me like that. And it's funny because then
I won't do that again.
But no.
Okay, I mean, whatever you want me to do is fine.
Okay, so why it's funny is that we both mitigate our speech a lot. We're not,
and I didn't know what this was, so maybe you explain it a little bit.
Okay, right. So when we text or talk to people, we pad a lot and make sure the other person receiving our message is okay. And so it's a lot of, hey, instead of just saying, hey, we're still on for Friday, or like, I'll see you Friday, whatever, or hey, call me. You know, like my mom does, and it can give me anxiety.
Yes, your mom does that.
She'll leave a message, and it's like, hey, Daniel, I need to talk to you. Bye. And you're like, oh.
What did I do?
What did I do? Exactly. Okay.
I swear I didn't mean anything.
Yeah, like, analyzing the past conversation. So what we do when we mitigate is, hey, it's Sarah. hey, it's Daniel, just give me a call whenever you have a chance, you know.
No rush, no big deal.
NBD, whenever you have a chance, or text is fine too, or email, you know, whatever works for you. So yeah, talk to you soon or whenever. Just had a quick question for you. Let me know.
Message.
Okay, bye. Yep. Every message.
To every person I communicate with.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we do the same thing. So we now text jokingly overly, like that, but overly mitigating.
And it stresses you out?
Well, because then I want to respond like, oh, no problem. Like, don't even worry. That's not a problem for me.
It's just this bad cycle.
So halfway through reading your text, I'm like, oh, wait, he's joking.
Oh, see.
And then, but it's funny because half the time I don't know if it's real. Because
what the emojis are for.
The emojis. I always have to do like a hard eyes or a smile to make sure we're okay, we're cool, right? Like,
so bad. So, because I had seen something, because I'd been applying like for different jobs and that sort of thing. And one of the, maybe, I think Melinda sent it to me, but basically like, make sure that you're not saying these things, whether it's in a job interview
or
in communication. Let me know.
Let me know. Like,
no worries. Like, so I went through and looked at every single message I sent to all these different people.
Yeah.
And 100% of them said, whenever you have a chance, no big deal, no worries, just let me know. I'm like, well, no wonder.
They didn't worry about hiring
they
you.
Didn't.
So yeah,
yep,
they didn't.
No problem. Okie dokie. Yeah.
So Melinda just jumped in and said.
She just interrupted.
She just interrupted. She said, you hate being interrupted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does. It comes back to what we were talking about before, like your presence, my presence mattering. I think because too, like for me as a 9, like I'm for the most part typically thinking about the other people in the room, not myself first. So I would think about like in a job situation, an office, like I'm thinking about, okay, this person's in charge. This person is pitching an idea. And so I want to be respectful of all these different opinions and not necessarily think about like what I have to bring to the table. So I won't jump in. But then when it's my turn, like if you interrupt me, like you've just confirmed to me like what my fear already is that it doesn't matter that I'm here.
Oh, yeah.
You don't care about my opinion because you're interrupting me. So that's one that while it's a pet peeve, it actually like cuts really deep because it kind of cuts to like, the fears that I are, or the insecurities that I already have or have had, you know? And I'm not in like a social context for the most part. It would be more in a professional context, but I think at times it could be in a social setting too, because if it's a big group of people that maybe I'm not familiar with, I'm less inclined to kind of jump into things. But even if I do,
right?
And I would even, I know we talked a little bit about like family dynamics, like it would be different. Like in my house growing up, there wasn't a lot of talking. It's just like you eat to eat. Like yeah. That's what you're there to do.
That's what you're there to do.
And that's not a bad thing, yeah. Right? And that's an oversimplification. That definitely isn't true. I'm making sure that my mom, as she listens, my childhood was wonderful.
You had a very loving.
It was great. Yeah. So then, like, again, coming into Melinda's family, and it's like, if you want to say something, you better jump in. Like, there's not space to, like, sit back. Like, if you... And so if I try to do that and, like, get cut off, I'm like, well, I'm not even going to attempt this again, yep. You know? Yeah. At her mom and dad's house, I mean, there would be 20-something people around the table. And so there's, like, these side conversations happening. Yep. And so, and typically I'm kind of, like, in the middle toward the right. And so, and I found myself, like, well, they're talking. And those two are talking. Oh, and wait a second. Oh, I'm not talking to anyone. How did this happen again?
Again. Oh.
Well, wait, I have a thought. Well, okay. Actually, I don't. No, never mind. And so, yeah, it's like interrupting is one that's a pet peeve, but really it does. It kind of, there's a bit.
It goes a lot deeper than just
not just like misophonia.
Hey, it's a pet peeve.
Yeah. Like, I don't like when you do that. Yeah. It's like,
there's a reason.
It really affects me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
On that note.
All right. It's fun. I mean, what else you got over there?
I, you know, be prepared.
I'm not good at that.
You have no preparation.
I have zero preparation. I'm more of a off the cuff kind of person. Sometimes. And that's not always true, but.
Speaking of cuffs, you haven't, I haven't seen your cute cuffs.
Mm-hmm.
Cute? Wait, do guys like, okay, because if you guys don't know, Daniel's into fashion. Well, what?
Wow, that cut really deep. That was.
Daniel is a dresser, as my parents.
Dressing nice. I mean, it's just chill.
At this moment, no.
It's a Tuesday.
I can verify.
I haven't showered
yet. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he hasn't showered. He really cares
about.
Yeah, he does. You haven't. But yeah.
The sleeves with. What?
No, I was just going to say.
Haven't
do
trimmed?
Guys like the word cute when referring to how they dress? This is a random question.
Random
it doesn't.
Well, here's the thing. And so we're going to.
This is a deeper question, I know.
Deep thought here on this. I'm not the typical, like, I'm probably not the person to ask that question to, because my brain, Melinda, I joke about this too. I'm a man, yes.
Why and are we prefacing that?
No, she is a woman, but I think, like, we have stereotypes for men and women, right?
Right.
The typical man, and we've kind of found our relationship, like, that we're kind of reversed a little bit in how we think, and that's funny. You can laugh, it's okay. I'm the woman, she's the man. Okay. Wait. Edit. Like in how we think and how we communicate sometimes. I'm more of the feeler. Maybe emotional. I don't know.
Maybe emotional.
Sensitive.
I don't know.
Yeah. Where am I going with that? I don't know.
Cute. I like to
sure,
look cute.
Sure, I don't have a problem. I don't think it's like it's a bad thing. Handsome would probably be like the more preferred term.
You have handsome cuffs.
But yeah, or hey, you look nice.
Nice. Neat.
Yeah. And where I'm a little bit weird too is like I like compliments, but like I don't like people to make a big deal about it. So it's I'm weird like that too. Like I don't like a lot of public acknowledgement.
Yeah.
But I also need like affirmation.
You like private comments.
Sure. I don't know. It's like, it's weird. And maybe it's not weird. It's just, it's sometimes hard to navigate. I think even in our relationship, like how do I, like affirm you? How do I give you like what you need from that standpoint, to whether it's to boost confidence, whether it's to just let you know that you're doing a good job or that you look good, whatever it might be. But I don't want you to make a like big deal about it. Like,
yeah.
So there's like this weird fine line. Like some people know how to balance that and some people jump over the line and or some people, you know, like they're not good at that too. So
yeah,
all that to say, sure, that's fine.
Cute
works. Okay. I don't care. Right. I'm not like bothered by it. Like, don't say that.
So what I glean from this is that you're not a guy.
No,
you're not a bro guy.
I'm probably not
a bro dude. Okay. To wrap up, I'm not going to wrap up quite yet, but mm-hmm. my last question for you is on the lighter side, and you can answer it by just saying, I would just sit on the couch and watch TV all day. I mean, that says a lot about you. We are wondering, and your birthday is coming up, so yeah. Friends and people, listen up.
Mm-hmm.
What would your ideal day be?
Oh, man.
And honestly, if it means like no one's bothering you.
Yeah.
That's fine. You have three kids.
No, I think an ideal day for me, like I'll just say my birthday because that's maybe right. an easier way to answer it. Yeah, I would love to like hear from my friends like, hey, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. I'm thankful for you. Like, words like mean a lot to
words?
Me.
Words. Okay.
For some people, words are just empty, yeah. you know, and I think I've found that in our relationship. Sometimes words with Melinda, mm-hmm. words don't. What am I trying to say here? Words matter to me, you know, and like affirmation, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like that, it makes me feel good. It makes me, once again, like, hey, my presence in the world matters. You know, I'm appreciated. Mm-hmm. I'm loved, cared for, et cetera. So yeah, I love to hear from people. Yeah. I'll watch a great episode of Breaking Bad or something.
Or
like
10.
That. Or binge.
Yeah.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
No.
Okay. Well, we can't talk about that then.
Okay.
Eat some yummy food.
Okay.
I like maybe play some basketball.
Oh.
Do some batting cage action. I love to just to be outside doing that. That's always, we did that for one birthday. It was just the best. Hit up the Family Fun Center.
Okay.
I'm a kid at heart too. I'm a woman and I'm a kid at heart. I'm a teenage girl.
Wrapping up. On that note, I really enjoyed talking to you and getting to know you and how you don't shower every day.
I'm going to shower today. I haven't showered yet.
No, but seriously, I'm glad that you feel like you can open up. And if you ever did, you know, want to transition, I would be there for you. And seriously, though, I want you to, and any of our guests, to be able to feel like they can mm-hmm. say anything to us and to our audience. I want even the people listening to, you know, come with an open heart and mind and, just have that. I hope we created that space mm-hmm. today.
You did a great job. I felt very comfortable to share and open up.
You were very comfortable.
Yeah. Did I share too much?
We'll let the people decide.
Okay.
That's for them to...
Okay. Bye now.
Okay.